personally, Terry. And Mike, you got to do that. So, thanks for the little encouragement, Mike, and appreciate that. Let's just ask the Lord to help us. Father, we thank you. You are an awesome God, and sending your Son to pay for our sin. We thank you that out of your amazing grace, you've done this. So we just want to honor you and praise you. Be a joyful, thankful people who worship the God who has done all this for us. So we pray you will guide us, direct us, and accomplish your will at this time. In Christ's name, amen. Because we're created in the image of God as human beings, one of the things that results from that is that man is designed to worship the God who made him. It's interesting that no matter where you're at in the world, people worship something. And we realize that there are many diverse ideas and different things that are the objects of worship. But as we talked about this morning, worship, in order to be genuine, is an adoration of God in his supreme worth. In order to do that, we have to worship in spirit, as we talked, and really that involves, part of that, is that our spirit has to be alive spiritually. We have to have life. We have to be born again. We have to trust Christ as our Savior. And then we have new life, and in that life, we can actually relate and respond to God. But also, we not only worship in spirit, a God who is spirit, we have to worship in truth. And again, that takes us to the reality that we have to know who God is and his qualities, his characteristics. There are many, many things to respond to him and praise for in his attributes and his actions. And we talked this morning his omnipotence. As we think of God and his great, great power, his creative power, and we look around and we say, God, we just praise you for that you are so amazing and so powerful. And we think what that has done in our lives. Just think what Nancy shared with us. Think how many times God has protected us and we didn't even realize it until after, right? And sometimes, maybe when we get to heaven, there'll be reruns and you'll say, whoa, did you see that intersection you missed? Anyway, you just think how God protects. And then God's love for us, obviously demonstrated most wonderfully in the death of Christ for us. And then we think of his holiness, holy, 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 as we sang this morning. He is majestic, and in his majesty and purity, he is separated from us. And we are a people that need to acknowledge him. And there are many other facets of God's character that we are called to draw, we're drawn to worship him. Our worship also has to be, for it to be what God can accept, it needs to be pure. Now, let me just elaborate on that. If you will turn with me, I'm going to go to the Old Testament book of Isaiah. We worship God, if it's a genuine adoration, we worship him in purity. Now, it's interesting in this passage, in Isaiah, all the way back to this Old Testament book, wonderful, wonderful, majestic Old Testament book, we hear this challenge of Isaiah, and he's challenging the people of Judah, and he speaks to the rulers and the people, and he compares them to evil cities, because this is the way they're living. Now, sometimes, obviously, we don't want to acknowledge that our sin's a big deal, big problem, and they weren't acknowledging that. But he says this, and I pick up in verse 10. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Now, they weren't in Sodom, but they were acting like Sodom. Give ear to the instruction of our God, you people of Gomorrah. And of course, those cities had been destroyed. Now, listen to very carefully to this. These Jewish people were involved in worship. And notice what God says. This is his perspective. What are your multiplied sacrifices to me? Now, of course, in their Old Testament worship, they had sacrifices. And God says, what are your multiplied many sacrifices to me, says the Lord? And listen to these words. I have had enough of burnt offerings. What? They're bringing these offerings to the Lord, and there's a multitude of offerings going on according to their biblically instructed tradition. And God says, and I don't think you have to almost take the wax out of your ears. I'm sure if you were them in this setting, you'd think, man, we got it all together. He says, I have had enough. Remember when you said that to your kids when they were little? I've had enough of this, right? And God says to these people, you are worshiping me, you think, and I've had it. I've had it. Now listen, he goes on to say, he talks about some of the animals that are sacrificed. And he says in verse 13, bring your worthless offerings no longer. Did you see the word? Now, I don't know how your version reads, but mine says worthless. Bring your worthless offerings no longer. Incense is an abomination to me. That's a pretty bad deal. Now, is God, has he just canceled worship for these people? Well, of course not. God still wanted sacrifices, but there was something deeply wrong with these sacrifices. And something can be deeply wrong with our worship if we don't deal with our hearts. Now notice what, dropping your eyes down, and I ought to pick up verse 15. So when you spread out your hands in prayer, I will hide my eyes from you. Obviously that's a picture he's giving. Yes, even though you multiply prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are covered with blood, talking about their sin. And then he says this in verse 16. Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean. Remove the evil of your deeds from my sight. Cease to do evil. There is no genuine worship without purity in our relationship with the Lord. Now if you'll take with me, and this is a more well-known passage, I'm going to go to Isaiah 6. Isaiah 6, and we think of Isaiah, it's a year of King Uzziah, this is in verse 1 of his death. And Isaiah is talking in verse 1, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, lofty and exalted, with the train of his robe filling the temple. I mean, this is an amazing sight for Isaiah, and he talks about the seraphim. Now notice these angels. Verse 3, and one called out to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. I mean, how could we possibly take this in? It's beyond our total comprehension. But there's an amazing sight, and Isaiah has he has this opportunity, a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. And he sees these angels, and they are praising, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. And then we read this. And of course, there's all these various things happening, but verse 5, then I said, this Isaiah, woe is me, for I am ruined, because I am a man of unclean lips. Woe is me. Woe. You know, it's interesting. Here, a man like Isaiah, outstanding prophet, gave us this amazing book. God gave it through him. And he says of himself, he's not saying this to the people. Now, he includes the people in just a moment. But he says this to himself, woe is me. Now, let's just think for a moment, trying to think through our theology. All of us, all have sinned. All of us start separated from God. Sin is it's the curse when Adam and Eve made their terrible choices, we come along and we have joined in, and we are part of those. All have sinned. So all of us start in disaster. We're born spiritually dead, right? We're born spiritually dead because of sin. Now, when we trust Christ as our personal Savior, the righteousness of God in Christ is applied to us. It's put to our account. That's we are declared righteous, which is what we say theologically is a positional reality. It's true in God's point of from God's perspective. Now, we don't always act righteous, but if we trust in Christ, we stand because of Christ's sacrifice. We stand in the righteousness of God in Christ. It's an amazing thing. That's the thing that keeps, that's what will take us into heaven, right? Because we stand in Christ's righteousness. There's nothing, no matter how good we, you know, we shaped up our life, or a person who's always been, you know, a nice neighbor and all of that. We thank people who are, we're thankful for nice neighbors, right? But being a nice neighbor is not going to get anybody into heaven, because there's just all this sin. Sometimes it's just kind of the hidden sin. Sometimes it's just motive sin. Now, sometimes you have a really nasty neighbor, and it's act. You know, you can see why they're a sinner, right? But all of us have sinned. And so, but when we trust Christ, we stand in the righteousness of God in Christ, and we are secure, and we're going to go to heaven, and it's just overwhelming and amazing. It's just wonderful. But there is this thing of practical righteousness that we're called to. As a Christian, we are called to live a righteous lifestyle. We're not ever going to be totally perfect in this world, no way. But we are to grow, and as we grow, we are to live more and more consistent with what is right to God. And that becomes a righteous lifestyle. We're to live a righteous path. And so... Isaiah, we have to think, when Isaiah said, woe is me, he's already a believer. He's already, you know, he already knows God. But he realizes in his practical walk, woe is me, I am a man undone, a man of unclean lips. Think of all the things I've said that I wish I would have held back. And we are a people of unclean lips, he goes on to say. He says, yeah, I'm number one, but all the rest of us are included too. Our walk is not what it should be. And that's true for us. Think how many times we mess up just in the course of a day. And that's where, isn't that so wonderful when we read 1 John 1:9? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Isn't that an amazing promise? And that's how we can live life. Yes, if we trust in Christ, we stand in the righteousness of God in Christ. That's cleared. We're going to heaven. But we want to live a life so that when we get there, God doesn't have to look at us and say, man, you really messed this journey up. Think of all the rewards I could have gave you. And now I can't give you a lot of the stuff I wanted to because you were just holding on to sin, playing with sin, enjoying sin. No, no, no. When we see sin, we confess sin. You know, I was thinking of this afternoon, you know, when Isaiah said, woe is me. Isn't it somewhat like what Paul says in Romans 7, oh, wretched man that I am. Oh, wretched man that I am. And he was struggling with his sin. He wasn't making much progress at that point in his spiritual life. And sometimes when we're honest with ourselves, we have to say, oh, wretched man that I am. And we blow it. But isn't it awesome? God loves us so much, he's made provision. We don't have to go through our whole life with this dirty, ugly backpack of sin, going through the whole thing and every morning waking up and feeling guilty. We can confess it and we can move on. Think of the freedom that gives us. But if we're playing Christian, let's say we're really a Christian, but we're really not, we're not kind of just playing Christian life. And so we come on a Sunday morning and we say, oh, let's sing a song. Let's sing unto the Lord. Let's sing, let's sing praise to the Lord. But if my life is all cluttered with sin and I haven't confessed my sin, God is saying to us through Isaiah, woe is me. My life is not what it needs to be. How can my worship be genuine? How can he receive it when he knows I got, you know, it's like, you know, remember, I've used this illustration many times, but I think my mom, she was a really good house cleaner, and our house was always in nice shape. And, you know, when you come in the house and coming in from the farm, you better take your boots off. You get those boots off. If you got mud or whatever else, you get those boots off. They stay in the garage. And God says, come to my presence, but take off the muddy boots. Confess your sin. And he is faithful and righteous. He's righteous. He can do this because Christ paid for that sin. He's righteous. And he can forgive us our sin. So that allows us the freedom to come and worship the Lord. But it also reminds us, I need to check my heart. I need to check my heart. I need to do this every day. When God convicts me, I just need to be honest and say, you know, we don't want to have to wait till Sunday morning to confess our sin. I mean, that's kind of a bummer. You think, man, I'm going to carry this sin all week, and then maybe on Sunday I'll think about it. No. But on Sunday morning, we should check our heart. You know, do I got any mud on my boots? And just check our heart. Say, God, is there any sin? Is there anything hindering our fellowship, my fellowship with you? And it's a wonderful thing that the Lord has made this provision. We can come in purity. We don't come in perfection. We know that. But just be quick to confess your sin. Isn't it a terrible thing when, maybe sometimes you find yourself, but a person who can never admit they're wrong. Now, are you one of those people? We'll talk later. We'll talk to Mike. Don't talk to me. But anyway, if you can't admit you're wrong, right? But you know, there are a lot of Christians that can't admit they're wrong to God. Be honest with him. He already knows, believe me. He already knows. And so we come to him. We confess so we can worship. We can worship with a pure heart. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Now, let's talk about this worshiping God with song, with singing. Let's go all the way to the New Testament, Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5. And we'll look at this passage several different times, but I just want to highlight one thing right now. Ephesians 5 and verse 18. Now, this is talking, the caption of this, and I will come back to this, but the caption of this is being filled with the Spirit. But then part of that being filled with the Spirit, one of the outworkings of that, is singing. Notice what it says, and I'm just going to highlight part of this passage. But in verse 19, in the middle, it says, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. Singing and making melody. Singing and making melody. That is one of the ways we worship the Lord, is singing to him. Now, again, it has to be with the right heart. And I know we have, you know, people have different styles. We're not talking about that. But we're talking right now is about a heart that is right, and the Lord is brings joy to our heart, and we sing back to him. Ever been around, and I think Naomi Budge was, she was so well known. She just sang all the time, I understand. She just, at home, she just sing around the house in the Lord. Isn't that a wonderful characteristic, isn't it? Just to sing to the Lord. It's interesting, isn't it? Wouldn't it be sad if the Lord didn't give us music? And the ability, some of you have a lot more ability to sing it, right? But all of us, you know, you can, as they all, the old common say, we all make a joyful noise. Well, maybe just in the barn, but we can still make a joyful noise, right? And we can sing to the Lord. And see, when it is done with the right heart, and it's to him, my attitude is right, and my singing is to him, it can be worship. It can be worship. And the Lord loves to hear us worship. Now, I'd have to double check this. Maybe you know more about this than I do. This thought just flew through my mind. But I remember one time somebody said they had never found in the Bible a place where it says angels sing. And I thought, well, that kind of messes up Christmas. You know, hark the herald angels sing. You know, now I don't know. I don't know if the angels sing or not. But let me say this. We have a wonderful privilege to sing. And that's going to be, I think it's going to be, you know, one thing, none of us are going to be off key in heaven. And I think it's going to be pretty, I think it's going to be a little overwhelming, right? Okay, you there, you get a special number, you know, sing your part out, right? And you're going, I hope I get a special part. But anyway, we'll go on. Maybe in heaven I'll be able to play a guitar. That would be so awesome. Well, you may not, maybe I'll play on the South 40, but anyway. But, you know, just to sing unto the Lord, sing unto the Lord. And so, now, this is what I thought might, we'll have a little, you know, these impromptu. I've been told, don't have many impromptus. But anyway, we're going to have an impromptu. I'm going to ask if Jack and Janice would come back. And Mike, if you would come and lead, I Stand in Awe. This is 119 in the red. And I would just feel more comfortable if Mike would lead us on this. So, and we have to stand, right? We have to stand. But also pay attention to what the words are. Because it is a beautiful. But we're going to stand in awe and worship the Lord. Think of worship. I think that word awe is very, very appropriate. We also have the privilege to worship the Lord by giving to the Lord. I want to turn to Philippians 4:18 for a moment, please. Philippians 4:18. This is just one other way. And Paul's writing in Philippians 4:18, but I have received everything in full and have an abundance. I am amply supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you have sent, a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. In a day when money sometimes becomes the focus of everything, and quite frankly, sometimes you might hear a ministry and it seems like everything is about money, and we try not to make everything about money here. Money is important, and we're thankful for money, right? We wouldn't be warm right now if it wasn't for money. God provides. He's gracious. But it's important to give money for the right reason. And the right reason, ultimately, I mean, obviously, it's to meet needs. We think the privilege of sending money to missionaries, the privilege of giving to needs, just a variety of things. But ultimately, genuine giving is first and foremost to the Lord. And so motive becomes an important point in giving. And I think a lot of times David will, at the breaking of bread, will say, now we'll give unto the Lord, something in that phrase. And so that's a way we can worship the Lord. We give to the Lord. If our motive is right, it's one more expression to give awe and give acknowledgement and worship to the Lord. Because he's worthy. He, first of all, it belongs to him. And he's given it, he's loaned it to us. But more importantly, we can give it back to him. Give it back to him. So it's a way to worship the Lord, giving. And I think just check your heart. This is not in any means meant to be a point of pressure. It's an opportunity. If our heart is right, we give unto him. We give. It's a sacrifice, an acceptable sacrifice. Now, another area is that we worship God is with praise. Now, of course, that often comes out in our music, but I just want to highlight this. If you want to go with me to Hebrews 13:15 for a moment, Hebrews 13:15, we read these words again in this sense of worship in the expression of praise. Again, we're acknowledging him for his supreme worth, and this is one way we do that. Verse 15. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is, the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. Now, also I'm going to read a passage, and that one really sets it forth enough, but I just want to highlight this. This is in Ephesians 5:20, and we'll come back to this passage a little bit later. But always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. Always giving thanks for all things. Years ago, a dear brother who's now with the Lord, and I know I've shared this on some occasions, but he came to Christ late in life. He was a really rough around the edges. He had been a taxi cab driver, and I don't know if he was technically alcoholic before he became a believer, but he's sure that was part of his lifestyle. And but he was rugged and rough, and he came to Christ. And he still had his rough edges. He always would get himself into trouble. I don't know how many times I kind of had to come along and have a little apology session with Murray and somebody else. Anyway, he was a dear, dear friend. But one of the things in view of this that brings to my memory, Murray, is we would, at breaking of bread, not every Sunday, but some Sundays, he'd get up at the breaking of bread, and he would just, in a sentence or two, just praise the Lord. And it wasn't in profound words, but you know what? It was in genuine words. And when Murray praised the Lord, you knew that he was worshiping the Lord. And I always appreciated when he shared. But he would praise the Lord. Now, it doesn't have to be at the breaking of bread. Isn't it neat tonight Nancy shared? I thought that was very, very appropriate. But see, that's praising the Lord. Think how God protected Nancy and all those miles, right? Praise the Lord. Remember when they had that terrible accident recently with all the pileups, and our son Chris had taken a friend to the hospital in Toronto, and they were coming back. They were there kind of late, and coming back from that doctor's appointment, some work had been done on his friend, and that's why Chris went, because he couldn't drive after this procedure. And so, but anyway, and they came along, and Chris told Marty later, they just missed that big pileup. You know, God, thank you. Now, every Christian doesn't miss a pileup. I understand that. But we should praise the Lord when we see God's fingerprints on our life. And that brings praise, that brings honor to him. We worship him. We're in awe of him. God, thank you, thank you. And a lot of times we just need to say, what do I need to be thankful for? There are so many things. So many things. Just sometimes I think, maybe this is getting older and senile, I don't know, but little things sometimes. I think, God, thank you. I didn't even appreciate. I've never, something the other day, I don't remember what it was now. I said, I have never thanked the Lord for this. But I'm so thankful I have it, right? If it's just a little something, that's why I guess I can't remember it. But it was, I think, you know, thank the Lord. We praise him. And then, of course, we have many big things to praise him for. Many big things. But to praise him, that's one way we worship him. We worship the Lord, obviously, at the Lord's Supper. I'm just going to read this quote, and I'll make one additional comment. It is quite impossible, thus, to remember the passion of the Lord Jesus without responding to God with worship and praise. Thus, the Lord's Supper is a time of public worship, a time of adoring God for all he is and all he has done. Now, we'll talk more. Lord willing, you can pray for me. Lord willing, next Sunday we're going to talk about the Lord's Supper. And so I appreciate your prayers. But it's one opportunity of worship. And so what a privilege we have. It really helps us focus and look to the Lord and lift him up. Now, I just want to talk about this dynamic of worship for a moment. Those are some of the descriptions of worship. I want to go to Philippians chapter 3 for a moment. Philippians chapter 3. And just point out something I believe we already recognize. We would believe this, but I just want you to see it in the scriptures. Philippians 3:3. And I highlight this a phrase, and it reads this way: For we are the true circumcision who worship in the Spirit of God. Now, in the NIV, it says this. It is very, very similar, but it says we worship by the Spirit of God. And the reason I highlight that is that every activity in the spiritual life that is done in a way that pleases God must be empowered by the Spirit of God. And that obviously includes worship. If we really worship the Lord, it is the empowerment of the Spirit that allows us to do it effectively. Now let's go with that thought, and I want to turn to Ephesians 5:18. As we said, we spend a little time in that passage and come back to it. Ephesians 5:18. Now, I read this, the whole verse. He has this contrast. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, the reason, or one reason he uses this idea of do not get drunk, is that when a person is intoxicated, they are controlled by the alcohol. They are controlled by it. And he gives this contrast, and of course, I'm sure there was a lot of alcohol and that, and they understood that. You know, somebody's really intoxicated, they sometimes don't remember what they did, right? But the contrast is don't be filled with things that distort us, that are he calls dissipation, which we don't use that word very much, but disorderly and destructive. Be controlled or filled by the Spirit of God. And we all need God's empowerment to do God's will. It's just the way God designed it. We're not here as independent, you know, on our own kind of thing. God says, well, do the best you can. I'll see you later. No, God doesn't do that. He loves us. And he's empowered us. He's indwelt us by his Spirit. Every believer has a Spirit of God within them. But we need to know that we're needy. We're needy. And we need to be dependent. We're needy people. Yes, we can accomplish great things, but because he is in us and can work through us. And so we say, God, you know, we start the day. God, I can't do this on my own. I can't get through this. The best, I can't do this the way you want me to do this without your power. And the Spirit of God wants to control us, wants to empower us. Now, there are various things that happen when the Spirit of God is having his way and his empowerment in our life. But notice what several of those are from this context. And I just read verse 18. Now drop down to the next verse, 19. This is one thing that happens when the Spirit of God is influencing us, controlling us, empowering us. We're not talking about weird stuff. We're talking about God working at us in a way that pleases him. First thing, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. When God has a big part in our life, what do? We speak to one another about God. We speak to God. You know, God is doing this. I'm so thankful. You know, God carried me through the day. Thankful that God is working in my life. Thank that God protected my family. Thank God for all these. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns. We think, isn't it amazing the things we have in Scripture and the things that people have written in the past, godly people have written, and we can either sing them or just read them and reflect on them. Sometimes it's amazing how somebody can put phrases and remind us how wonderful God is. And so we share, we talk about God, speaking, and then, as we've already said, singing. Verse 9, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. Singing unto the Lord. And then the third one, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. When the Spirit of God is at work in us, we are thankful people. We're thankful. And doesn't mean life is easy. All of us have the deals. You know, we have the struggles. We have the battles. But we realize God is in control. And think of all the things God has done. And even in the midst of pain, think some of these dear, dear believers in the past who have gone home to be with the Lord. You go to the hospital bed and you spend time with a dear Christian who loves the Lord. And they're thankful for this little thing, thankful for that. You know, there's a thankfulness when the Spirit of God is at work. And so we need to be a thankful people, but that's empowered by the Spirit. And that is part of worship. Because I'm thankful to God, I'm bringing adoration, I'm bringing attention, I'm bringing honor back to Him in my thankfulness. It may not be in a big group or in a Sunday morning situation, but I can worship the Lord wherever I'm at. And so these are indicators the Spirit of God is at work bringing about His will. One writes, true worship in the fullest sense of the word is possible only for those who are filled with the Spirit. So our desire is to learn to walk depending on the Spirit. I need the Spirit every day. I need God to empower me every day to do His will. Now, and I want to conclude with this last part, and Lord willing, we'll deal probably maybe a little more with this next week. We are to not quench the Spirit. Now, let's go to 1 Thessalonians 5:19. I think this is probably a bigger deal than sometimes is given credit. 1 Thessalonians 5:19. Now, it's talking about other things. Notice it says in verse 16, 1 Thessalonians 5:16, rejoice always. Well, we know that would honor the Lord. That would be a way to worship the Lord. Pray without ceasing. Okay. In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit. Now, obviously, when we think of quench, let's put it in very practical terms. Say you've been on a camp out, and you don't, and you're getting ready to leave the site, and you want to make sure the fire doesn't ignite and start a wood, you know, a forest on fire. And so you quench the fire, right? You have some water and you put it on the flames, on the coals. And that's to quench it, to put it out. Now, in the positive side or from the spiritual side, do not put out God's fire. Don't hinder what the Spirit wants to do. Do not quench the Spirit. Now, in the context of this, it seems, you read the next verse, it looks like it's not just quenching God's work in my life, although that's possible. If I have sin, I don't deal with sin, I hinder what the Spirit wants to do. But this context seems to not only include that, but it includes not quenching, not hindering the Spirit's work in other people's lives, in other facets of ministry. When we allow sin to go unchecked, let's say we have a really bad attitude, and that attitude will spread, right? It will spread. Marty reminded me, she was sharing a story with somebody else the other day, and we were just kind of sitting around. And she reminded me of the situation where there had been a young guy He had been a friend of ours, really, and but he was very, very divisive. This came out later. Very, very divisive. Everybody was wrong except him. He knew all, you know, he knew the truth and nobody else knew it. And he was making sure everybody else knew he was the only one who knew the truth. And of course, the leadership was wrong, the church was wrong, everything was wrong. It was, and we're not talking about here, so I can say the story, right? And, you know, there was like this blanket, this cloud cover over that assembly. And this guy was calling around, you know, Mr. Friendly, really trying to split the chapel. That's what he's trying, really. That was, it seemed to me, his goal, to split this thing, divide and conquer, right? We finally, and I know I've told some of you the story, we finally had to put this guy under discipline. We didn't have any option. And we had to make a public statement and all of that. It was really one of those hard, hard things. Thing you never want to do, right? Never want to do. But we felt like we just had to do it. You know what? This is what Marty reminded these friends of ours. The next Sunday after we did that very, very hard thing, which I thought might split the church, but it, thankfully God graciously guarded us. That next Sunday at Breaking of Bread, it was like the sun was shining on that assembly. There was a freedom. There was a joy. It was like God just refreshed us. What had happened? The spirit had been quenched by sin. And when the sin was dealt with, there was a refreshing from the Lord. And we need to be careful. You know, I mean, we can all share stories, right? We all know, well, this place or that, whatever. Well, that's not where we're going. But we don't want to quench what God wants to do. We want to quench his spirit. And we don't want to quench his spirit where worship is hindered. We want to worship him. We want to adore him. And as we move forward, may God help us worship in the power of the Spirit of God. Worship. May we be a place where God is honored, where he is worshiped, where he is adored. Where he is adored. Let's pray. God, we're here, and we thank you that you graced us with your presence. We thank you that your spirit is in us. And Father, reflecting on the last part of what we've given thought to, our prayer is that we'll be a people that walk by your spirit, walk in the power of your spirit, and that we will not hinder your spirit, either personally or corporately. Protect us, God. Protect us, and may you be exalted. May you be lifted up. May you be pleased with the worship that we bring. God, we know only you can do this. This is what we ask, that we will honor you. In Jesus' name, amen.